ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Thursday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Haven't spoken to Michael since he was on NRL Monday. Hello, MC. How are you?
I'm well, Andrew. How are you?
It couldn't be better. There's so much going on this week, isn't there? Including Adam Dewey. What is going on there? And how did this all come about to now he's not playing at all?
What he's doing there. So obviously Adam Dewey was before the judiciary on Tuesday night, and Benji Marshall had made the decision to add him in the extended squad, probably thinking that he wouldn't get off the charge. Told young Javon Andrews that he would make his NRL debut, and since then, you know, Dewey's gone, well, where am I going to play? And Benji told him he was going to play lock, and that's resulted a bit of a blow-up. I'm still between the pair, and Adam Dewey's told him, well, I'm not in the right headspace to play this weekend, so it's put out of the game.
It just seems to be so much to unpack from all of this, and I'll bring Roo and Matt into this. So I'm just an outsider looking in. I don't follow the West Tigers, but I hear a player not wanting his change of position, saying I don't want to play. To me, that's, well, go away. We'll see you next year, or if at all. Then I think, hang on, how is he not in their halves? I don't understand the selection process. I don't understand how everything the West Tigers touch turns to farce. So, Matt, you first from a coaching perspective, how do you unpack everything?
That's a difficult story to unpack because obviously you need to understand what's behind it. But Roo and I had a conversation off air, and I'm going to share some wisdom from a kit man from England. And he used to say to me, son, if it's not right, it's wrong. There might have been some other words that were in there. So there's something wrong there because we're not talking about one incident here. We're talking about an accumulative effect of a whole lot of stuff going on. So you know, that has to be fixed, and you know where it needs to be fixed from the top down. That's my opinion.
What about a play again, without knowing how the conversations have gone between Adam Dewey and Benji Marshall, but Roo, what do you make of a player deciding that they're not in the position they want to be, so they're not going to play? It seems like under six stuff to me.
Yeah, it's so disturbing to hear because, you know, we've seen Adam Dewey and he doesn't seem like the kind of player that would pull that card. I've never seen that in him before. And I've only ever seen Benji as being very direct and very clear with his communication. So there is a genuine breakdown here that we're not privy to, but I find the whole situation, it's disturbing. It's not right. And like, this is how we got onto the conversation of the kit man from England. I just said to Matt, it's not right. Something's not right. It doesn't feel right at the moment. And we were discussing, obviously, that's where leadership really needs to step up from the top and hold the line when it comes to standards and hold the line across the board.
But, Michael, I think Roo's saying it's just not right at the moment. You could have said that any time over the last 4 years.
Well, 4 years, you've been generous, Andrew. Probably the last decade at the West Tigers, there's always been some sort of big issue. And, look, it is surprising that you know, Adam Dewey's elected not to play, and instantly you just lose the PR battle, right? Like, you know, with your fans, yes. And you know, you've seen the comments online, and fans have turned on him. And, you know, I guess he, you know, probably would have been better off playing, and then the criticism would have been leveled around Benji for moving him from the halves, because I don't think anyone believes he shouldn't be playing in the halves, right? So if he had played and just taken his role on, I think there would have been some natural criticism on, well, why are you moving the player that's probably been one of your best this year away from that position to accommodate a guy that's going to leave next year anyway that you've told to go? So that's where it's all, that's where these lines have been blurred. But to make a decision not to play is a huge call, and one that you just don't see.
As an extension of that, MC, I know I should have my mind around this. Hasn't he just signed an extension as well?
Yep, locked in long term there, Matty. And he becomes it, like, he was already an important player, but with Jerome leaving, you know, this year or at the end of this season, he becomes an even more important player for the West Tigers. So,
but even the way he started the year too, MC, like the way he was playing to start, he was magnificent.
Yeah, he was their best player to start the year, and obviously has struggled a little bit coming back from that shoulder.
Yeah, from injury,
You know, part of me as well is like, if the season's done and dusted for the West Tigers, well, it's not. They've still got to win. You know, it's a must-win game on the weekend. But once it's done, do they go and get his shoulder repaired so he can start next season, right? But, look, this is a significant story and one that just shows the continued uncertainty that just plagued the West Tigers year after year.
They just seem to be a club that is a club of amateurs in a professional sport. That's what the West Tigers seem to me. They just seem to be, again, everything. Michael, we're talking about the West Tigers on Monday that you don't want to pile on because it just seems cheap and easy, but they make it easy. Everything turns into a farce. It's craziness.
I don't think it's cheap and easy anymore. It's just the reality of the situation. It's just one catastrophe after another there, and it's been a theme that just, you know, predates Benji's coaching career there. Obviously, it was there when he was playing. This is a club that just, for whatever reason, has failed to get it right for so long.
And didn't they just announce the new CEO a couple of weeks ago too, didn't they?
Yes, he's been at the club for a little bit, but
yeah, but he's just been announced in that role.
Yeah.
And did we get, like, have we had confirmation from both sides that this conversation has gone down the way it's been spoken about, MC?
Well, the CEO had said Adam Dewey's decided not to play after a discussion.
Right, and has anyone, like, no direct quotes from Adam or anything?
And Benji won't talk about it, will he, Michael?
No direct quotes, but rest assured both of the stories have been represented,
yeah.
All right, moving away from the West Tigers, Cam Munster looks like he may be on the move. He is contracted to the Melbourne Storm next year, meaning the clubs can't deal with him directly until the 1st of November, apart from one, it seems, Michael.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. He's had a conversation with the Melbourne Storm, and the Melbourne Storm have granted him permission for a couple of weeks to speak with PNG and PNG alone about playing at the club in 2028. So they've had discussions between the Chiefs and Munster, and I think it was just to get a value of what he'd be worth on the open market. He's a free agent come November 1. Melbourne want to keep him and have been in discussions about a multi-year deal to keep him at the club as a one-club player. So it's far from over, or it's far from settled that Cam Munster won't finish his career at the Melbourne Storm. But it is an interesting subplot there that he's been given permission to speak with the Chiefs for the next couple of weeks only.
So interesting. I'm so mixed about the Chiefs. I'm excited about the prospect. I think it's devastatingly unfair on other clubs that they can go the tax-free route, especially with the third-party deals. Because they're currently speaking to, is this still ongoing, Joey Manu, Zach Lomax, and now Cam Munster?
Yes. So Joey Manu travelled to PNG, returned yesterday. There is an offer on the table for Joey Manu, which has yet to be accepted from Manu's camp. Zach Lomax will travel to PNG at some point in the short term. And I think if he gets through that visit and he's comfortable with the living arrangements he will find with the Chiefs, I think of the two, well, of the three, Lomax is way more along than Manu. And Munster's only very informal at this stage. There will be not a deal done before November 1 for Munster to join the Chiefs. So I think it was just dipping the toe in the water, just seeing what was out there. But I don't think that's going to progress anywhere anytime soon.
Answer the coach question in me here, because I'm thinking Luai and Munster in the same team. Let's just say it pans out that way. Please explain who's playing seven and who's playing six. I'm just interested.
You should be answering that, not me, Matty. You know, like, who do you think? How does that hard combination work?
Well, my answer to that is this.
Come on, Matt.
I put Luai at seven if they ended up being in the same team. It'd be such a terrible problem to have, wouldn't it? Two players of that quality playing in your team. It would make the fullback very, very important, though.
And then could you imagine then having Joey Manu and Zach Lomax as targets out wide?
I'd be really upset.
Yeah.
Well, Joey could even be a fullback in that scenario.
I'd be picking Manu at fullback, yeah. Because he can play six as well.
He can. And he was great when he moved into six.
Yeah, so
games there.
I'd have him at fullback. And, like, what about that for some potency?
Yeah, Alex Johnston finishing off.
And Connor Watson
and Connor playing through the middle or lock.
I would have concerns with Marnold playing fullback, having spent basically 4 years out of the game. And never, I know he's played fullback in the NRL, but he's never really played a season of fullback. And if the expectation is that after 4 years out of the game at the age of 31, 32, to play his first full season at fullback in the NRL, I think history will show that hasn't worked out too well for people.
No, and I remember a chat we had with Jordan Rapana after he had played rugby in Japan, came back and Ricky picked him at fullback and he couldn't believe how unfit he was all of a sudden, like by comparison.
All right. He'd missed half a season.
Yeah, not 4 years.
That's right, not 4 years.
Good shout, MC.
It is a concern of if that, you know, I think that in an ideal world, he'll play centre for him, and I definitely get that, but they do have the luxury of moving him around if needed.
With all due respect, though, to the other code, he's not going to come back beaten up like playing 4 years of rugby league as well. So there is a bit of a balance to that argument, but I agree with you, MC, for sure.
And finally, Michael, the Perth Bears, what's doing with them?
They've put a two-year offer on the table for Junior Paolo. I think we spoke about it last weekend. They're in talks with him where they formalised that offer, two-year deal on the table. And I think it's going to be impossible for him to refuse. It's big money. Significantly more than a one-year deal on the table for him at Parramatta. And, you know, Parramatta at this age aren't going to budge off that 12-month deal and haven't ruled out another year, but want to roll him on 12 months at a time. So it would be a significant call for Junior Paolo not to take on that two-year deal that's on the table for Perth.
Yeah. How old is Junior? 31?
Roughly,
early 30s. Okay.
I was just Googling it because I wasn't quite sure. 32. Yep.
Close enough. Very young man. All right, Michael, very interesting MC's Hammer Time. You've done well. You're obviously in charge of your daughters and Max. I think I heard a few barks. I assume that was from Max.
I was about to go all Barnaby Joyce, but I thought better off.
I was going to say you handled it very well, MC. You handled it very well.
That's quite clever for you, Michael. I'll see you on Saturday. Working tomorrow night too, aren't you?
Off the bench.
Yeah, that's right. Sims out, Carianas
in.
That's for the 8 o'clock game tomorrow night. Thanks, Michael. Off you go. You've got things to do.
NRL Thursday on ABC Sport.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
On Sunday, Luke Lewis, John Gibbs and I will be at Brookvale Oval. Manly Warringah taking on Cronulla Sutherland. And while the Seagulls have hit a bit of a lull, they're outside the top eight. Cronulla is on fire at the moment, entrenched in the top four and looking to continue in that regard. Tom Hazelton, one of our favourites here on ABC Sport, has been thriving as a starting front row for the Sharks. That's where he's listed again for Sunday's game against Manly. He's on the line. G'day, Tom. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you going?
Very well. Always good to catch up. The Sharks are on quite a roll at the moment.
Yeah, mate, starting to play some consistent footy, which is good. Obviously, the start of the year probably wasn't ideal for us. We had a few pretty poor defensive performances. And, you know, over the last, I suppose, 6 to 8 weeks, we've really knuckled down into that part. You know, our halves are starting to combine really well. Our spine's playing well. And, you know, we're just putting in some good 80-minute team performances, which is, you know, what we're aiming for every week. And, looking forward to getting to Manly on Sunday, Arvo. And, both teams have a lot to play for, so it should be a good one.
Yeah, I've said to you before and your coach and a couple of other players, you're the hardest team for me to read as what sort of a team are you and what their identity is. But that really seems to have taken shape in the last couple of months or so, and your halves are combining beautifully and the forward pack has really found its mojo. Do you feel like this last 6 to 8 weeks has been the best version of this group of players for Cronulla?
Yeah, I think it has, mate. Obviously, the results, you know, have been going our way, and you know, we've probably only had one subpar performance, which was against the Roosters before our last bye. And you know, I think the start of the year we had, we sort of realised that as a group we have a lot to offer, and we weren't living up to that, and we were letting ourselves and our club down. And you know, obviously got some important people leaving at the end of the year, and for everything they've done for us, you know, it's pretty important that we try and perform well and send them out as good as we can. And like you touched on, I think this is probably the best that Nico, Tricky and Will and Brails have combined. And when they're all on the same page, when we're getting forward for them, it's, you know, it's exciting times for us.
Hey, Tom, as an extension of that answer, has there been any key messaging from the playing group or the coach around, you know, that improvement and developing that connection?
Not in particular. It was more just, you know, when you're not defending well and you're conceding 25, 30 points a game, and that sort of makes our attack. You know, when you have to chase 30 points, it's harder to do than when you defend them well and you only have to score 12 or 14 to win, if you get what I mean. And when we have, you know, the quality that we have in our team, if we're defending well and keeping teams to low scores, you know, we're confident that we can find the points to win. And our message wasn't about as much as adding things or, you know, trying different things. It's more about just simplifying and defending well. And I feel like when we're doing that, we're playing our best. So that's really the message that we're honing in on.
Mate, I really respect your humility about talking about the spine, but I also feel like the middle third, you know, yourself, Adam Fanua-Brake, Cam McInnes, I really feel like that's been an area that's stepped up and started to dominate, particularly in the ruck, where I see when you're carrying the ball, you win in the ruck, and obviously defensively. You know, what sort of ethos do you have amongst yourselves there as far as winning that part of the game?
Yeah, well, I suppose for the game of rugby league, as long as it's been around, that's probably where most games are won and lost, really. And you know, when you get over the other forward pack or they get over you, it often goes a long way to determining the result. So we've had Adden and Blake, you know, missing a little bit through the origin period, and we know what they give us when they're playing. And I suppose for all of us lads, it was about stepping up when they were out, and I suppose not letting the team down in that regard while they were absent. And obviously, now that we've got him back, you know, Toby Rudolph will be back in the next couple of weeks. Jesse Calhoun is looking to be back. And, you know, we've got a lot of competition for spots in that middle, which is, you know, a good problem to have for coach as well. And like you touched on, it's a big part of the game now. Obviously, with the new rules and whatnot, it's a lot quicker. But I still think, you know, your bread's buttered in the middle. So every week we're looking to do as good as we can in there for sure.
What about removing the butter from the bread by the opposition? When you look at Manly, what do you see the key threats and where your main focus are for this weekend?
Yeah, obviously, they've got a lot of strike. Obviously, it's disappointing for Manly and for the game that Turbo's obviously ruled out again, but whoever steps in there for them does a good job. Obviously, they had Falalo at the start of the year who won't be there, but obviously, Kohler is an origin player now, and Lehi Hopewade has done a great job there from in the past too. And obviously in the middle, Paseka's a big threat, and you know, Hamola, you don't want to, he's not someone that you want to let, you know, free reign either, because he's, you know, arguably the most damaging forward in the game. So they've got a lot of threats, mate, and we're going to have to be at our best to beat them up there, especially on Sunday arvo, and obviously Steve Rogers Cup too. So like I said, there's a lot on the line for both teams. Obviously they're fighting for their spot in the eight, and we're trying to set ourselves up for the back end of the year too, so it should be a cracker.
Now, Tommy, I feel like Blake Brayley is a player who is so underrated just for the amount of work he actually gets through and the quality of service he gives. What's he like when he cracks the whip on the middle pack?
Yeah, obviously, I'm glad he's on my team. I'd hate to be defending him when he's getting around the ruck there. And I think, obviously, he's been, over the last probably 3 or 4 years, pretty underappreciated in the NRL, and over the last sort of 12 months, you know, going on the Ashes tour, playing in the Origin this year, he's starting to get the recognition he deserves. And, you know, he can only be at his best if us as middles are at our best too every week. And obviously when he's running and playing well out of dummy half, it goes a long way to us winning. So, yeah, I'm obviously glad that he's started to get the recognition he deserves. And, you know, if we're going to, you know, go deep into the comp this year, he's going to be at the forefront of it for sure.
Yeah, and just looking to Sunday, obviously Manly, they're smarting a little bit. I think they've lost 3 of their last 4 games, and that's a little bit unusual under Fosball. Are you guys expecting a bit of an ambush on Sunday?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the NRL, it's foolish to underestimate anyone, no matter how they're playing, who may be on or out of their side. And, you know, that's a difficult place to go and play. Obviously, they'll pack that out on Sunday afternoon. It's pretty hostile. They get out there in numbers and support. And like I said, they're playing for their spot in the finals, playing for their season a little bit. And they're going to be hungry for the result, as we will be. So we know that it's going to be a tough game. They're going to start fast. They're physical. They always are. So we're really looking forward to it.
I'd love to know, Tom, having called that Manly Gold Coast game last Sunday at Robina, what your take is, having seen video. But that was the most frantic, crazy 80 minutes of footy I've nearly ever seen. Do you think, is that the way they're going to come at you guys?
I think so. Like, I think, obviously, there'll be a few lessons from that game they'll take. And You know, we're expecting, you know, them at home. Their line speed's, you know, pretty crazy to start the game. They're really good physically, and like we touched on before, being in the middle, that's where the game's going to be won and lost, arguably. So we know they're going to turn up through the middle, and you know, the strike they have on the edges, you know, they obviously go through the middle first and then try and get the ball out there. The blokes like Kohler and Saab on the wing there. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome game. Hopefully get a dry track so that both teams can express themselves a bit with the ball. But, yeah, it should be a good one.
Now, Tom, you know, we've chatted before and I like to ask deep and meaningful questions, mate. You've got that covered. Now, you got your hair cut and shined your head just to suck up to the coach, so you got in the team.
Are you going to bring this up with Tom every time we have him on air?
No, well...
Hang on.
Someone's taken his
Tom
IP.
Tom had that hair before Brayden did.
Someone's taken his IP. Right. Well, they're all sucking up to him now. Are you cross with them, mate, that everyone's copying you?
No, I actually don't mind it, eh? I reckon we should get more. There's a few people in our team that could probably join us as well, hiding a few pretty bad hairlines there. So I don't think it'll be too long before.
Who should be next for the Clippers?
So you're the trendsetter.
Yeah, I'm the trendsetter. Cam McInnes probably shouldn't be far off. But he's a bit too afraid to hide it, so he's going to go to England and hide it over there instead.
Under a beanie.
Mate, that's the last thing his head needs.
Mate, you'll be captain of Australia if you can get Nico Hines to shave his off.
Oh, good luck. Not for a lack of trying.
Tommy, we appreciate your time as ever, mate, and good luck on Sunday. Should be a big one. Can't wait to get out there at Brookvale Oval, Cronulla against Manly. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.